To recap, last session, you guys discovered that the dead dragon was Fungoxus, the one that you had met previously. Some of you realized that, you know, him being gone, that means his hoard is up for grabs somewhere in the Dreadmarsh. And then I think it was put together that there these skeletal priests were wearing garments that had the symbol of Mirkul, the god of death, on them. And the image of Zektul, the former Grung leader, had vanished. Didn't get much else about where he went at that point. You kind of ventured north to the wall, found it to be quite spooky there. Beyond the wall appears to be haunted and vast. So it would take you a long time just to kind of brute force and figure out where he's at in those ruins. So you headed back to camp to meet with Quix, with the Grung, who relayed that, you know, the undead attacks began after Zektul left and headed back north, but he didn't know how that would be possible because that was not something that Zektul was capable of doing from a magic perspective. And you were able to solve a riddle to break into Zektul's hut and kind of piece together what might have happened, sensing that he was angry at the people at the cauldron for stirring up the ash down there, since it was causing his people so much trouble. And through a series of more like crazed writings and drawings on the wall, you sensed that he had headed north beyond the wall to find an amulet that had that image of Mirkul carved into it. There were a couple other relics as well that he didn't seem quite as interested in, but so it seems like the Grung nobility kind of had a little bit of a hoard of items. That pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, so I think we should head back towards the... Are we rested?
I think when we left, you were like, you're going down to bed.
Right.
To rest.
All right, cool. And so if we're rested, I'd say let's head out.
Oh, and part of his drawings directed you to a certain quadrant of the Grung ruins beyond the wall. So you have a better idea of the general area that he's in, but there's still going to be some hex crawling to find him. When you wake up to start the day, Theron actually gets a message appears in his head. It's the voice of Galandro Luna, who's the head scientist at the cauldron. Theron, you would recognize this spell as a spell called Sending, which allows you to send a short message, 25 words or less. He says to you, reverse engineered conches are working. We have a few magnum grenades now. Stirring the cauldron again. It's sick. Come back for the original conch whenever.
Nice.
And if you want, as part of the sending spell, you're allowed to respond in kind. It'd be kind of funny if that's all you said was nice.
So do I know where to go to like meet up with him again?
That would be back down south. Southwest of the cauldron. So because he posted up with some of his head guys. They made like a forward ops base down there.
I'll just say like, awesome, thank you for the update and keep me posted. We'll be back down when we can to meet up. I don't know if that's under 35 characters or not, but
that sounded like it was.
Okay.
And yeah, so it's morning, you guys are all rested.
Should we go back to the grid?
Yeah, let's go to the wall.
Do it.
So as we walk, Bazelle turns to Theron, and she realizes that some of his story doesn't make complete sense to her. So she asks, So Theron, doesn't it seem a bit late for you to start your adventuring? I mean, in life?
For sure. I spent so much of my time in my college like teaching. And that's one of the big reasons I, you know, ended up adventuring and joining you guys is that I didn't want to just like have my life end at the college. I really wanted to make sure I lived life. So it probably seems like I'm pretty late in the adventuring arena for sure. But I feel like this is where I want to be. And I'm thankful to have good friends and a leader.
Can I do an insight on that and see if he's lying when he says that? Or if there's some sort of partial truth there? Like, did he really making the choice to start his adventuring career as, like, an old man? Or did something else happen? That's my investigation question.
I don't think that's for me to answer as a DM.
Well, I guess, well, I mean...
Because I don't know what Theron, if Theron's telling the truth or not. You can roll insight, Giselle. Roll insight.
Well, I don't think it's going to matter. 8 total.
Yeah, you gather that I'm being genuine.
Okay, cool.
Sweet.
headed to the wall. Let's do this thing.
This bit of the map is a pretty sizable chunk, this whole area of Grung Ruins. So I'm going to say every hex would take about 2 hours on foot to walk through, just in, you know, obviously in game, not in real life. So that just kind of gives you an idea of the scale, because this is like 11 by 7, roughly, hexes. And I believe I told you last time, I wrote down that based on his insane drawings, you suspect you would narrow down his location to B through F on the x-axis and 5 through 8 on the y-axis. And you start here with this towering palisade wall in front of you. And I would mention that it's quite cold in this part of the Dreadmarsh. As you peer in, you see these, like, I don't want to say impossibly ancient, but extremely ancient stone constructions that are mostly halfway, at least halfway fallen apart. Just, you know, ruins of an old civilization. A bunch of really huge dead trees. And if you kind of listen, you know, it's like the wind is howling, but you think you hear the occasional, like, crazed laughter or, like, moaning sound. And it feels unnaturally cold beyond the wall.
So 5 through 8 and B through F, you said?
Yep. Kind of the west central portion.
So Vizel warms the air around us all using prestidigitation.
Cool.
Puts on her nicest fur and then would like to inspect what's in this hole right there.
That's like 10 hours of travel away from where you guys are right now.
Oh.
So
we're not at the wall.
You're at the wall. I've put your little group token here.
Get there first.
Yes. Yes, and things may happen each time you enter a new hex. They might not. It's going to be kind of a roll of the dice.
Oh, so you're saying what hexes do we want to walk in?
Yes. What's your approach here?
For 4 hexes, I can get us here. That's about as good as I can get. Is 4 hexes to there.
Sure. Let's do it.
Sounds good.
Then we're going to go here.
Okay. Somebody roll a D100 for me. And one of you can move that token. So you're moving into K9, looks like.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that one?
K9. Yep.
Yeah.
How do you feel about 85, Harrison?
85. We'll see.
Let's hope that's good. Is this a random encounter table? We just die.
Oh, no.
You breach the palisade wall. I guess you just kind of worm your way through the holes in it or climb over it or something. You come upon there's a tree stump in front of you. It's mostly flat, like high desert up here, cold desert. But there's a tree stump that is hollowed out, and the portion that hollowed out has been sealed with a pile of rocks. And it's radiating palpable malice as you approach it. So do with that what you will.
Sounds like a lot of psych patients, I see.
What's the average challenge rating on a psych patient? That'd be at least like a 4.
So, I mean, it takes a party of 4 fourth-year medical students to defeat it.
Yeah, it's considered a fair encounter for a party of 4 fourth-year medical students. Yeah.
I don't like this place. Something's off.
I mean, if I can sense malice from something, I'm not gonna like hang out.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Move into the next one. I mean, maybe the relics are bad and like malicious, but fuck, I don't know. I assume, so as the player, I assume that some of these encounters will just be like relics or like potentially even good stuff. But
yeah, roll an insight check. Now that you've crossed the wall and you're kind of getting a bearing.
15.
Okay. So you're not seeing a ton of activity so far now that you're on the other side of the wall. So you it's fair to surmise that you're not going to get attacked like every single time you move into a new area. You didn't get attacked right away when you got over the wall, but you do feel uneasy for sure. Especially once you crossed over, it feels colder now. And you swear you can hear those kind of like weird laughs more frequently. It's tough to get a read on where they're coming from.
Could I do it's gotta be some sort of nice, a good check to like see if I know what that is. Or maybe I asked Theron. Theron, in all of your studies, have you ever learned anything about anything like this?
What would be the what would be a good role for this Arcana?
Sure. Yeah.
History.
Probably Arcana. Theron pulls out his tome of common undead bird calls.
I have a new app for that on my my Arcana check is so good. It gives me plus 9. I said that last game, but I think that's amazing.
It is plus 9.
Yeah.
Good.
Jesus.
Because it's because I get 2 times my proficiency plus intelligence is plus 9. So 20 plus 9 is 29.
You got nat 20?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay.
He fucking knows everything there is to know about it.
I wasn't gonna give you this unless you got really high. That sounds like a wraith. That sound you're hearing sounds like a wraith, Theron.
A wraith.
Yep. That's like a dark, shadowy ghost.
We don't want to fight those.
Guys, who you want to call? I think there's a wraith.
Ghostbusters. Yeah, or a witcher.
I'm happy to leave the wraith where he's at and move on.
I should clarify that the sounds are coming from all around.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not from
the rocks.
Not from the tree stump. Nope. The tree stump just seems bad in its own way.
Do I know how powerful a wraith is?
I'll stay within that 20. You think you guys could take it? I mean, it's not great. You probably prefer not to run into it, but.
Okay. So it'll be a fair fight.
Say that you're with a check that good, you're kind of honing in. You feel like it's more west than north.
More west than north.
No, sorry, backwards. It's more north of you than west.
Oh, then we go straight west. Hell yeah.
I feel like I have to reward that nat 20. Like, it's a good one.
So now we're in I-9.
Let's reroll that D-100.
Here, I'll roll it on this thing. 56. Uh-oh, that seems low.
You're better than half.
Yeah, I guess it's not like 2.
Or a nat 1.
Yeah.
COVID.
You all die. Unexplainably.
At 56, I don't know how to do this narratively, so I'll just tell you what the new rule is. But for the next 24 hours in game, any humanoid that's killed in this region, which is the whole north of the wall, rapidly decomposes and rises as a skeleton 1d10 minutes after dying.
Oh, all right.
I turn around and start sprinting. I'm just going, following my message earlier.
Well, guys, all this means is we have to kill all of our enemies in one round and then just bounce real fast.
So I take it that this appears very unnatural, like the surroundings seems very unnatural.
Yeah, you haven't gotten super, super deep into it yet, so it's mostly the odd tree stump here and there, and maybe a small bit of ruins, but
okay,
unnatural, yeah. Just like the weird sounds and how cold it is. Yeah, unnatural.
Okay,
I would agree with that. Yep.
Okay, then I'm going to pray to Sylvanas, who, and I'm going to just ask for guidance, saying, Sylvanas, help us cleanse this unholy mar on your wilderness and guide us to preserve this, return this area to its rightful beauty.
Why don't you give me a religion check at disadvantage because of the space that you're in right now?
Yeah, he wasn't able to kneel.
I wasn't going to get down in that shit. A 7. Oh my god. 11.
11? Okay. You don't feel or hear anything as a result of that prayer.
So Quill starts praying, and Bazel mistakes his prayers as the beginning of a seance. And so she takes off her animal furs and puts on like a wispy dark dress and lights her adventuring candle and starts like nodding and humming along to the rhythmic prayer that Quill starts doing.
Does Quill see this? Or are you just like behind him the whole time?
Oh, she is not hiding this. Okay. Not, like, I mean, I don't know what the order is, but she's not doing it stealthily.
Yeah.
Thank you. After I complete and I don't hear Sylvanas or anything, I just say, thank you.
The cell marches solemnly to the northwest, to the square, holding her candle out in front of her. Like,
it's going to get pretty cold doing that, just FYI. You're like in a silk gown.
I'm thinking like those mesh veils, but just like a lot, like tulle, like the fabric tulle.
Yeah, okay.
Like a shit ton of layers of it, but in black. Like,
I like that. That's a funny visual. All right, as you head northwest, you start getting into more of the ruins now. You're at H8. You're at Hate. Somebody give me a D100. D-hundo.
Ooh, I only got a 16 on that.
Oh, no.
Did I roll a red dice? I did.
All right, with a 16, you happen upon a... So you're getting more into ruins now. You find like it's like a halfway intact building still, where most of the stone is still standing. There are a couple of tables outside that are pretty rusted or broken down. There is a faint dim light coming from inside the room. You hear like some kind of sing-songy voices in there. And there's a skeleton butler outside the door. And you can tell he's a butler because he has like a monocle and he's like got a towel, like a really ragged, torn up towel over one of his arms, folded over. And the skeleton there just kind of stares at you guys.
Can Bazel roll a performance check? She'd like to sort of figure out what the song is. And maybe try to harmonize with it or add her own musical flavor on top of it.
Okay. Yeah.
She's still in her seance mode. And so Bazel in this black tulle dress carrying a candle on like one of those brass holders in front of her comes up to this like and she starts humming along in order to try to like evoke the spirits.
I love it.
This is great. 23.
Wow. Okay. So the music it sounds like a children's rhyme. Like it's not a lullaby, but like a, you know, just like a standard nursery rhyme type song. And it's the voices that are singing it sound kind of high pitched and girlish. There's a few different voices singing from inside this room. I assume you haven't gone in yet, but they sound happy.
Can I learn anything about the song from having sung it with them? Like about who might, so like what language or what the words are or.
Yep, sure. The language is Elvish and they're talking about a tea party.
Oh, fucking Bazel she's walking up to the door already.
So you're joining in song, it sounds like, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought she'd hate this portion of the journey, but she so far has just fucking loved it. She's, like, trying to get in to, like, join the tea party. Okay. So she goes up to the butler and is, like, kind of motioning, like, can you get me the door for me, please? I'm thirsty.
Yeah, 100%. He bows in a gentlemanly fashion and pulls the door open for you. It creaks, like, a lot as it opens. And there's a small magical fire going in one corner of the room. There is, it's kind of been like set up like a fancy dining room inside, but everything is like super old and worn and ragged. So it's kind of like kind of sad in that way. There are in the middle of the room, there are three dolls that are singing this song about a tea party to each other. And they're seated about a small table. There has been tea sets put out. There's a platter of scones. And then you see all around the the perimeter of the room, there's a bunch of cupboards with kind of those like glass doors so you can like see what's in all the cupboards. And it's just like a whole collection of dining stuff, diningware, cutlery, teapots, forks, knives, plates, all that kind of stuff. So, and what's everyone, is everyone going with?
Yep.
Okay.
In Bazelle's best high elf, she asks if she can join in. Bazelle, yep. So she knows Elvish, but I assume that there's like a dialect of high elf that I mean, when I think of Bazelle's knowledge of high elf, she would have some inside knowledge into high elf. But I still think most of her high elf dialect knowledge would come from like external sources. So it's not going to be perfect high elf, but it's going to be like potentially pretty good.
Well, yeah, and I think we're still using that same performance roll. So it was a high roll. I think it's solid. So you're singing along. Are you saying anything in particular? Or?
Oh, just can I, Bazelle requests to join them for their tea party.
Yep. But they stopped singing instantly. They didn't really notice you at first because they're all just kind of singing to each other. They stopped singing and they all slowly turn to look at you and they, you know, pause for a second. And the first doll says, "We're missing what we need." The second doll says, "You can use a perpetual top or a treetop pulp." And the third doll says, "We need to repopulate PT." And they stare at you expectantly.
What did they say again? Sorry.
Oh, here, I'll write it. I'll write it in the channel. Yep. Behind you, the door slams shut.
Planet Toril?
If you attempt to speak to them at all, they just keep, they'll say these three lines in succession.
Mm. Huh.
It's the same letters, right? Perpetual top, treetop pulp, and repopulate PT all are the same letters, right? Three P's, two E's, one L. There's an A in perpetual top and repopulate PT that isn't in treetop pulp. Or so potentially A, that's where the A comes from.
Yep.
But I don't know what to do with those letters. Can you move those letters around to make something that would make sense for T? What did they have on the table, Harrison?
You look at the table, they have scones sitting out on a tray, and they have teacups and plates.
So they need tea for their tea party. So you take it, maybe it's a type of tea. So if you take T out of those letters, like the TEA, can you use the other letters to make a type of tea?
Is there anything else in this house that we're in?
The only other stuff you would see is just around the perimeter of the house. There's just a whole bunch of cabinets, like glass doored cabinets with a bunch of assorted cutlery.
Are the cabinets open? Like, can we see what's in there aside from the assorted cutlery?
If you go to open them, they open. Yep.
Oh yeah. Okay. I'm gonna open them. What's in there?
It's a whole bunch of stuff. A whole bunch of just like that, like dining stuff. Dining ware.
Okay, so there's not like ingredients for tea, for example.
Doesn't seem like it.
Wait, you might have said this and I just missed it. Is the table like all set already?
Table is set with teacups,
uh-huh.
A platter with scones on it, and plates.
But nothing in the teacups.
Correct. Yep. If you peer over and look inside them, there's nothing in the teacups.
Teapot?
Purple top?
Purple teapot.
Purple teapot. Yep.
Is a purple teapot. There's a whole bunch of different colors of teapot in all the cabinets.
So then I take the purple teapot out and put it back on the table and take the other teapot away?
There was no other teapot.
Oh.
Yep, purple teapot is what they wanted. You see one of them reaches for it and starts to pour tea. And then she reaches for a scone and offers it to you, Bazelle.
I take it. I can have a bite, baby.
It tastes.
I thank her.
Very nice. It tastes okay. It tastes kind of stale, and it's not. It's been magicked long ago. It's like a conjured scone. But your teeth, you sink into the scone, and your teeth contact something that feels more like metal inside the scone.
I investigate it. What is it?
Looks like a part of a key.
Oh, cool. Can I use it to unlock the door and leave?
The door is not locked. It just slammed shut.
Oh. So there's other... It's not an entire key, it's just part of a key?
Yeah. Have you guys seen... I got this idea from the Mission Impossible, the newest one. It's like a...
I hate Tom Cruise, so I refuse.
Yeah, you do.
Which one is the new one? I don't think I haven't seen it.
There's a...
Okay. On my list.
There's a special key in that movie that is a multi-part in order for it to actually work. You need multiple pieces of it. Mm-hmm. So this seems like a portion of a key.
Oh, so we're not...
Find a location and get three parts of the key to do the thing?
But we're not in the zone, right?
Quite in the danger zone. Let's stick to Tom Cruise.
Danger zone!
References.
Huh.
Okay. The three dolls start laughing hysterically in a really high-pitched voice, and they burst into flame, and they vanish.
Whoa.
Is the purple teapot cute?
Yeah, it's, in like an antique kind of way,
It's the Zelda's in her pack.
All right.
She needs a new teapot.
I started eating a scone.
Yeah, like I said, it tastes okay. You recognize it there. It's like conjure food and water. It's one of those like magical.
What was up with those dolls?
They were animated high elfish children's toys. Some of the best company you can keep.
I ate some more scone.
I mean, I think Bazelle backs out of this room at this point.
I follow Bazelle.
Like there's anything else in there.
Yeah, the butler closes the door behind you.
Bazelle tips him a copper piece.
He tries to hold it, but it slips through his bony fingers. And then he tries to pick it up, and it keeps dropping it. It's really sad.
Even Bazelle is not really sure what proper protocol dictates here. She just moves on. More embarrassing to take the copper piece back. Just make him try and keep picking it up for eternity.
So you're gonna leave him to it?
Yeah, I mean, I can't take my copper piece back either. That's a bad look.
Yeah, as you walk away, you just hear like a cling cling, like clank, just dropping it on his feet.
Bazelle wants to find this relic, so she goes to the west. Unless there's objection. Unless you guys want to look for more key pieces outside of the zone.
And just keeping track of in-game time, you guys have been traveling now, pushing it for like 6 hours so far in the cold.
What do you think these pieces of keys are going to lead to?
I mean, I assume the ability to like get the relics or get a relic, but I don't know.
Want to investigate? I think that'd be fair.
Do you want to do it since you asked the question?
Dang, 11.
Yeah, you study it for a while, and you get the sense that if you had more to go off of, you'd have a better idea. But since it's just part of the final thing, it's tough to know what it belongs to.
Okay, should we move towards the blue square?
It's my vote.
Do it.
Okay, so you're moving further west. You're kind of getting into a main archway in the ruins here. Somebody give me that D hundo.
Not good. 22.
So the temperature precipitously drops. It feels like it drops by 10 degrees just in a few minutes. Then it feels like it's getting colder as a harsh wind starts to blow through. There's snow getting kicked up. Visibility is extremely poor. It'd be very hard to move in any direction and know where you're going. So what do you guys do?
Should we try to camp?
If you stay in this cold for too long, you'll start to suffer exhaustion.
We have...
We can answer that question. Mr. Game Master.
We have something that can assist us with that, Bazel.
Bazel casts Lehman's tiny hut, or Bazel's tiny dorm room.
Yeah, nice. You described this last time as being like an extremely pink.
Lots of glitter, very pink.
Very pink. Yeah. Okay.
Like a freshman's dorm room.
Okay, so there's like posters up. Just like really basic Elvish bands, just like shitty pop music.
Definitely.
You guys hunker down in Zell's tiny dorm. What's the mood while you wait the storm out?
I asked for Pappy's secret stash.
As I'm like tamping it to light one up, I kind of like shocked at the request. I immediately light it and then pass it over.
Yeah.
Let's go.
This is a nice dorm room, and then I just
start playing.
Inhale so much, I start coughing a whole bunch, and then pass the bazelle.
What's the language on Liam's tiny hut? And I can look it up if you don't have it.
I do have it. A 10-foot radius, immobile dome of force springs into existence around and above you and remains stationary for the duration. The spell ends if you leave this area. 9 creatures of medium size or smaller can fit inside the dome with me. Creatures and objects within the dome, when you cast a spell, can move through it freely. All other creatures and objects are barred from passing through it. Spells and other magical effects can't extend to the dome or be cast through it. Okay. The atmosphere inside the space is comfortable and dry, regardless of the weather outside. Until the spell ends, the interior can become dimly lit or dark. The dome is opaque from the outside of any color you choose, but it is transparent from the inside. It lasts 8 hours.
So passersby could see it, but not see inside it, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
What color is the exterior?
I mean, I think this time it's like trying to blend into the snowstorm, so a white.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, that lasts for 8 hours. Okay. So yeah, you can. That's cool. You got like a fire going in there or anything?
Yeah. Bazel takes a full rest just because. So why not?
After I inhale, I'm like, man, it's really comfortable and dry in here.
You can't long rest because you just did that. But you can sleep if you want.
Okay.
Sleep away the storm. It'll it passes after a few hours. So that probably gets us into like the late, like the early evening now. Yeah, you survive the storm. What's the next move?
I think Bethel's gonna do like a spiral pattern. So she's just gonna keep going west to like here.
Okay.
Unless there's any objection.
Yeah. Go ahead and give me that next travel roll.
I'll do it this time.
Five.
That's a five.
Oh my god.
All right. Everybody roll initiative.
Initiative?
Yep.
Oh, shit's getting real, Alexa.
I'm sorry, everybody.
005.
That's impressive. That's an impressively bad roll. I guess that's equivalent to a... Is that equivalent
Don't
to...
Don't worry, I just now... That one. It's all good.
Your initiative? Good
God.
Lord. Dude. Get it together. I keep telling you to get it together and you never do.
I don't.
I got a 16.
16 for Giselle. Okay.
21.
Whoa.
Solid?
Eight.
Okay.
This map's really cool looking. Just FYI.
Hopefully this works. Make sure that I got the grid right. Yeah, pretty good. Okay. So you come across another bit of ruins, and there's like a river that's nearly frozen, but there's a waterfall going from a cliff to the east side. And then across the river, you see a couple of heavily armored skeleton warriors that you would recognize from a past fight. And I gotta get rid of that line. I don't know what that's doing there.
I did it. Sorry.
That's right.
I was literally trying to get rid of it since
since I started talking.
Yeah.
Good enough, boys. You recently there's the pianist. Very nice. Yeah. You recently fought a couple of whites, so we'll just tell you that you've got white A and white B. And then there is a woman, an apparition of a woman in a dress floating above the river near the waterfall. And they all, you kind of stumbled upon them and they see you. And yep, we'll start the fight here.
This is the third floating woman undead that Bazala's faced this campaign. She needs to do a, I don't know what the appropriate check is. But she'd like to rank them in order of, I don't know, how cool they are. From 1, 2, and 3.
All right, I'm going to roll for initiative here for my guys.
Yeah, darn right.
Some of them, this is for the other. All right, boys, Theron is first to act. You see the whites unsheath their rusty, frozen scimitars and look at you menacingly. One of them is on your side of the river. One of them's across it.
Hmm. I start chewing on my scone some more. I'm going to kind of scoot around to right B and then yell fuck off. And also,
he's like, wow, okay. <It's> fucking rude.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm looking at my spell to cast.
The white is just extremely conversational and chill. Wow, bro.
About to kill you, but wow, dude. Scorching ray, bitch.
Aggro much?
What'd you say?
Nothing. Scorching ray? All right, that's 3 spell attacks, right?
Fuck yeah.
Go for it.
3 rays. Plus 6. Okay, cool. Oh my god. 1 plus 6 is 1, right?
Yeah, it's a crit fail. Yep.
1 plus 6.
No bro. Way.
Is 1.
Yikes.
Don't do it, Sam. Say it ain't so, Sam.
3.
Oh, thank God.
Plus 6 is 9.
All right. The 9 to hit fails wide and connects with the cliff behind him. With the 2 crit fails, you're going to hit that frosty barricade right in your face. So make a dex save for me.
A dex save would be.
Yep. It's enough. It's enough damage on this wall to splinter off some rock, like right in your face.
Oh, 20. not 20 plus.
Nat 20, dude.
I got a nat 20 for the save.
You've rolled 2 nat 20s and 2 crit fails so far. Yeah. Nice.
Plus damn. It's
nice. 21. This is going to potentially blind you for a turn, but you. You get your eyes up, your hand up in front of your eyes to block the shrapnel. And that's your turn, huh?
I suppose so.
All right, Bazel's up.
Bazel casts aid on everyone. I think Bazel might have to move actually a little bit to get to Theron. Yeah, Bazel needs to move just a skosh to make sure all 3 are within 30.
Sweet.
Put her here. Cast aid. So you all get 5 temporary hit points and your maximum and current hit points increase by 5 for the next 8 hours. And then I'm going to, having seen what Theron just did, I'm going to oh honey him and give him bardic inspiration by saying oh honey. And or bless his little heart.
Bless his little
heart. Nice.
I just start doing snow angels.
Snow angels, nice. Theron self-imposes prone on himself. All right, it's the ghost's turn. The ghost is going to start floating over this river to the south towards you guys. 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. It's kind of hovering up about 15 feet in the air right now over this ruined tower. And it's going to turn itself horrifying as you all are within 60 feet of it. So you all have to make a wisdom save as it makes a wailing noise and makes a really scary face. I think of like Galadriel in that one scene in Fellowship.
19.
I've passed my test.
I will go now. 19 saves. Giselle.
This is a wisdom save?
Correct.
Oh.
I crit failed.
I'll save for Theron.
I assume it's to frighten.
It's a frightened effect.
Okay, I am brave, so I have advantage on saving throws against frightened.
Okay, it's a reroll.
So I rolled a 5 for my first.
Is that a 9 or a 16?
A 6 plus 2 is 9, or is 8, sorry.
Okay, so you got an 8. What did Rick get?
A 1.
Oh, shit. Okay, and then Theron and Bazel saved. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yes, Rick and Quill are frightened of the ghost for 1 minute. And it says if the save fails by 5 or more, the target also ages 1d4 times 10 years.
No, jeez. 1d4 times 10.
Which is kind of crazy. So you both have to roll a d4.
Aged by 30.
Rick packed on 30 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
How old was
40 Rick? Years.
Actually, I don't know if I know.
Oh my god. Quill ages 40 years. Holy shit. Okay.
It's like Rick is young, so now he's less.
I'm getting
young.
So fucked by these rolls. My god.
So, yeah, to Vizel and Theron's horror. Maybe Theron actually enjoys this a little bit. The young pups age substantially. I guess so. For what's the lifespan of like a tiefling and a
I actually have to look that up now.
Because that might not be that, like for an elf, that would be like no change at all, right? But for a human, obviously, it's a big change.
150 years.
Okay. And Quill was how old?
He was.
Oh, I live a long time. All right.
18.
Quill was 18 years old.
Yep. So now he's so 58.
58.
He was like. Basically, just almost an adult.
Wow, so this is a big change.
Wait, how long do halflings live? I didn't hear that part.
150 years.
Okay, that's what a tiefling born to a human also lives. About 100. It says easily reaches 150. He was in his 20s, so he's now in his 50s.
50s for okay. So Rick and Cole are both now in their 50s.
Like,
okay,
like for the battle or forever.
So we can get to that
like forever.
You've aged now. You're frightened. And then there is a way to reverse the aging effect, but only within 24 hours of it occurring.
What?
Within
24 hours, you can do something. Okay. All right.
Yep.
Well, I'm moving it to, I'm changing it.
So that puts Quill from like youth into like young adulthood, it sounds like.
Right.
Yep. All right. And you guys are frightened, which I think means you have disadvantage
Everything
if you try to attack.
I don't think you can attack. I think you have to run from them, do you not?
I don't think
you
it's
like
quite...
try and get as far away.
You might be right. Hang on.
Maybe that's not frightened. Maybe that's a slightly different.
Okay, so you can't move closer to it.
Yep.
And you have disadvantage on ability checks and attack rolls while the source of your fear is within your line of sight. Yeah, okay. Jeez, those were consequential rolls. Didn't expect that. All right, that brings us to Rick. So, Rick, at the end of your turn, you can repeat that wisdom save.
Okay.
For now. Yep.
I guess this person's in my line of sight, so I'm still going to attack probably right B over here.
Okay.
So I'll roll 2d20s here. Okay, so 8 is the lowest, and then that's plus 7. So 15 to hit.
15 hits, yep.
Sweet. And then I roll a d10 for damage here. Is that d10? Yeah, all right. 9 damage.
Okay. Rattle the armor he's wearing, and a couple of sparks fly.
I'm going to move backwards a little bit. And then you said at the end of my turn, roll the wisdom save.
Now you can. Yep, you can re-roll the wisdom save now.
Hey, I would have liked that before. Nat 20.
That's fine. Wow. Okay, you're no longer terrified of the ghost, and you can no longer be terrified of her if she does that again.
Nice. Do I still age? Am yep. I still aged?
I'm still older.
My back hurts.
Yeah.
Damn kids.
You suddenly do a really unnecessarily loud sneeze. Yeah, you can decide what that looks like for your character later. The whites are up. Damn whites.
Unnecessarily loud sneeze for like old people in general.
Yeah, old dudes in general. Myself included, I feel like. All right.
That's pretty great.
White's B moves in on Theron and attacks with his longsword. That's a 13 plus 4 to hit.
13 plus 4 is a hit.
Okay. It's going to do another attack on you before rolling damage. That's an 8 plus 4, 12.
That is a miss.
Okay. So one of these hits. All right. So it's 1d8 plus 2 slashing damage. 5 slashing damage on Theron. The other white starts to wade across the river.
You have the 5 extra from me, too. So you're at back to your normal max HP.
Perfect.
Now we are up to Old Man Quill.
Damn, I become hideous looking when I age. Holy shit. Like, tieflings just, like, get more ugly.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Like, their horns continue to grow and all that shit. They get wrinkly and their skin gets more scaly.
Oh, that sounds kind of dope to me. But
so this ghost is like 15 feet in the air above a tower? Or like just, if I climb the tower, could I attack it?
You could, but you're frightened of it, so you can't move towards it right now.
Right, so I'm going to use my action, which is stillness of mind. So I can use an action to end charm or frightened.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So nice. I am no longer frightened. Now I'm going to move towards it.
Yep.
How high is this tower? You said 15 feet. Is that how high the tower is? And then
it's a gradual slope. It's okay. It's, you can climb up it pretty easily.
All right. So I'm going to go to this thing. I'm going to attack it with a bonus action.
All right.
And I'm going to spend a key to do flurry of blows.
Okay.
Did you warm up enough so you didn't pull a muscle now?
Yeah. 13.
That might be enough. That is enough. Yep.
Wow.
Because you have magical fists.
Right. Yep. I'm going to do one more. Okay. That's more like it. 24.
Okay.
So I'm going to do 2 attacks.
Yep, plus both hit. So slightly more grizzled Quill clambers up and starts just beating the shit out of this ghost.
First is an 11.
Just haymakers. 11 damage, okay.
And then 10.
More like Mike Tyson now.
So, Lord. So 21 damage.
Just socking this chick, dude.
And so my first hit is going to be can't take a reaction until end of turn.
She can't?
Yep.
Okay.
And then my second, she needs to do a dexterity saving throw.
You're just blowing through your key right now, aren't you?
Actually, this was only one key.
Wow.
It's just open hand and technique allows okay. Whenever I hit a creature, I can impose an effect.
7 plus 1 to dex save.
That fails, which means that it's knocked prone.
Okay. I'm not sure what it looks like when a hovering ghost is knocked prone. She just kind of slides onto the floor, I guess. Okay, she's prone. That's it. I assume that's the end of your turn. That brings us to Theron, who's got white B in his face.
Alright, let's try this again.
It would have been truly horrifying if Vizel had been the one to age.
Dude, Vizel had...
Yeah, that would be horrifying.
I have some, anti-fear effects. There are gonna be some touching moments as I, wipe the fear away and am appalled and, But then you guys fixed all your own fears, so then here I am doing nothing again. Not doing nothing. I like my support role a lot. It's actually been, combat's been very fun for me, because it's totally different than,
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's fun.
I'll see you Burning Hands towards White B. So, dex save throw.
Got it. You got a 10 plus 2, 12. I assume that fails, but...
Yeah. So 3d6 fire damage.
Okay.
Be 3 plus 4 is 7 plus 5.
12?
So 12, yeah.
Okay.
Fire damage.
Okay, he's looking a little beat up. All right, that is Theron. Bazel's up.
So I would like to do an Arcana. Can I take an Arcana check as a free action to see if the rest of my party is still frightenable or not? Do I know that? Can I know that?
I'll allow an Arcana check to see if you know it.
Like, can she frighten us again? Nat 20.
Oh my god. A lot of weird Nat 20s today. You know that those that have been frightened and for whom it's worn off cannot be frightened.
Okay, so only myself and Theron are frightenable?
Correct. I mean, yeah, from her horrifying visage specifically, but yes.
I don't think I'm going to ever get to use this class feature if I don't use it now.
Okay.
And have it ever make sense. So I'm going to use it now. Bazel takes out her bass and starts playing. And she's using Counter Charm.
What's that?
So Counter Charm is, you get it 6th level as a bard. It disrupts mind-influencing effects. So as an action, I start a performance, lasts until the end of my next turn. Any friendly creatures within 30 feet of me have advantage on saving throws from being frightened or charmed. Yeah.
Nice.
So it's very, very situational, and I'm not sure I'll ever be in a situation again where it makes any sense. And I suppose right now it does make at least some sense. Yep. And then I will bardic with my bonus, Rick.
Sweet. Okay, that's the Zelf's turn. The ghost is up next. She's going to stand up for half her movement, and she's going to try Horrifying Visage again to try to terrify Bazel and Theron. So you guys roll Wisdom saves. I think at advantage now, right?
And I think I'm actually at double advantage because of Fey Ancestry.
Yeah, I think it's just still disadvantage, but...
There's no double secret advantage?
Double secret advantage.
Roll 4 die.
Technically, there can always be a double secret advantage because I can't see what you're doing over there.
Well,
in that case,
yeah,
23 for Theron
and so 9 for Bazel.
At advantage?
At advantage. I rolled 2 8s and it's plus 1.
Dude, okay.
Welcome.
So you're frightened. The DC is 13. So you failed by 4. And if you fail by 5 or more, you age.
Oh, thank God.
So Quill failed. Quill failed exactly.
The plus one was huge for Bazel.
You would have exploded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, but you are frightened, despite your best efforts.
She would have seen the wrinkles and just lost her mind.
Yeah, our main quest would have immediately shifted.
Oh my God. Where's the dermatologist? Where's the dermatologist? Yeah.
We'd immediately flee from battle.
Yeah, we just leave the guys behind and just run.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she will, that's all she can do this turn. So Rick is up.
Rick's going to blast the main ghost here.
Okay.
Really? Oh. You give that an 8? It's stuck in the corner.
It is stuck in the corner.
I'd give that a 16.
That looked like a 16 more than an 8 to me, but...
I'm rolling that. That's crap.
That's fine. What's
17 plus? I mean, it would have hit anyways. It was would have been 15 to hit.
Why would you program that to like have...
That's 24 to hit.
24? Nice. Yeah, that is weird that it lets it roll into the corner. Huh. Yeah, that hits, Rick.
All right, and then a D10. Oh, all right, 5 damage.
Okay, it's looking pretty rough. That's the whites. White B is going to grip his longsword in 2 hands now and swing twice at Theron.
Oh, shit.
First roll is a 13 plus 4 to hit.
That hits.
Second is a 9 plus 4 or a 13 to hit.
That misses.
Wow, nice. Okay, so 1 hit again. This is 1d10 plus 2 damage. 9 slashing damage, Theron. As he brings this two-hander down across your face. We will bring it next to the other white, still moving. He's close enough now, he's going to take a longbow shot, two longbow attacks on Rick.
Oh, shit.
First is a 3 plus 4 for 7.
Nope.
10 plus 4, 14.
That hits.
Okay. 1d8 piercing damage. 4 plus 2, 6 piercing damage, Rick. And that's them. We are to Quill.
Yep. I'm going to attack this dude again. I'm furious.
Pummeling the ghost.
Yeah. That's a 27 to hit and a 18 to hit.
That's both hit.
I think. Yep.
Yep.
All right. That's a 11 plus 6 for 17. Then I'm going to do an unarmed strike, which is 15 to hit, which I, if I recall correctly, hits.
You've recalled correctly.
And that's an additional 9 damage.
All right, that does it. How do you take her down?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Is it like a tangible creature, or is it like ectoplasm that it's like my hand passes through?
It's more like wispy. Yeah, it's more like ectoplasm than.
Okay.
It's even less tangible than that.
Okay.
But you're connecting with it because your fists are magical, so.
Yeah. So I'm gonna try to like take. I'm just gonna punch through its chest. that's all I'm gonna do. I was trying to think of a way to make it like age or something.
Oh yeah.
Kill it, but I couldn't think of anything, so I just.
Nice. Yeah, you punch through it. Yep. You explode its ghastly heart out behind
its
back.
Die again.
Die, bitch.
Die again.
Ghost is down. We are back to Theron.
Actually, I'm going to, with that, sorry, before I'm going to run to Theron.
Sure, okay. So you've cornered the backside of that white.
Yep.
Up on Theron. Theron's up.
I will do a fire chromatic orb.
Okay, you'd be at disadvantage because you're in melee right now.
Oh, really?
Although I guess that cancels because you're flanking, so. Sure, okay. That'll just be a normal roll. That's kind of weird.
13?
A 13 misses.
Okay.
Yeah. Bazel is up, unless you're going to do anything else, Theron.
No.
Okay.
Bazel is going to just cast. So Frighten obviously is gone.
Yep.
Bazel's just going to cast what was her original plan, which is Bless on everyone.
Sweet.
Let me just make sure I'm within 30 feet of Quill. Yeah, just barely. So everybody gets Bless. And then Bazel's going to move to here. And then Bazel's going to give Bardic to Quill. So everybody has a Bardic.
Everyone's boosted, dude.
Hell yeah.
All right. That would be the ghost next. She's done for, so it's Rick.
Blasting right A.
The guy who shot you with the longbow?
Yep. It's now, so it's 11 plus 7, 18 to hit.
That does hit.
9 damage.
Okay.
You could use that Bardic, do a little bonus damage if you want.
Could. So the D, what do I roll for that?
It's a D8 these days.
8? Jeez. All right.
Dang, that's good as hell.
All right, I add 7 to that.
7, dude.
That's all a right. lot.
Yeah, you just chunked him for like almost half his health.
I didn't know you could use it for damage. I thought it was just for like
saves
and stuff. That's broken. Holy
shit.
They
changed that in Tasha's Cauldron of Everything, I think.
Yeah.
That's where they added that. And it was very controversial. It came
out.
That's an embarrassing statement to make. Fuck me.
You know, it's like, it's funny though, because it's a lot more powerful to use it to succeed on a hit. Because that's all or none, right?
Because you're going but from zero to hit.
So really, it just gives you a little extra utility. Like if you already know you hit, yeah, that's cool. The whites are up. The white A is kind of seeing the writing on the wall, and he's going to start trying to flee back across this river.
What a bitch!
So he's fleeing north. White B is stuck between Theron and Quill, so he's going to keep pummeling Theron, the wizard in front of him.
Good thing I'm a spell sniper. I'm just going to snipe this.
Yeah, we'll see. 18 plus 4 to hit, Theron.
To hit.
16 plus 4 to hit. 2 hits. Unless you're going to do something, that's 2 hits.
Yep.
So 2d10 for. Ooh, oh my god. 22 slashing damage, Theron.
I'm gonna deliver a barb attack roll.
Just one of them?
I can only do one of them.
Okay, so he'll reroll one of those.
Yep.
It's an 11 plus 4 to hit, 15.
Okay. And then I'll give my advantage to Theron.
Okay, so it's 22 slashing damage on Theron, and that's going to be Quill.
Yep, I'm going to attack this dude.
Okay, you're at advantage now, flanking with Theron.
No.
16.
16 hits.
And then 18, which hits.
Yep.
So that's 11 plus 10, 21.
Jeez, he's like, you're just breaking off rib, like pieces of ribs and.
Sweet. And then unarmed strike, 16. Nice. 11.
Dude, man, Quill's cleaning up. That's another kill for Quill. Just kidney shotting this white from behind him. He's dead.
Fuck yeah. Fuck that thing.
Yeah, he chunked you a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah.
Theron, you're up. The last remaining thing is this white A is fleeing north away from you guys, or trying to.
I should figure out how far I can go on this map. 30.
I imagine like Theron's facing this white, right? And then the white like starts just like shaking because the quill's shorter than it, and it's just pummeling it from behind. And then it just like falls over, and you see Quill in the dust, an older Quill.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Old man Quill.
Got like one gray hair.
He's the same age as his dad now.
Yeah, who's old Pappy now? Who's old Pappy now?
So okay, so right A is still alive up here, and then how about this weird thing in the middle?
Ghost is dead.
Dead.
So it's right A we're after.
Yep.
Yep.
He's trying to run away.
He's a fleeing.
I'm gonna see if I can actually.
You got range on him. Yeah.
70 feet.
You got him.
Okay.
With something. I'm sure you got something that long.
I'm sure, yeah.
It's funny, playing D&D like versus Baldur's Gate, like line of sight in Baldur's Gate is so huge.
Oh, it's so annoying.
Yeah, like you never have line of sight on anything, which is more realistic. Like, it would just be flat everywhere.
Yeah.
But that's a big deal, and then any silly like movement thing, like grease and web,
matters will, like, a lot.
Fuck you up big time.
Yep.
So look out for that.
Also, having advantage is like a ranger being up high and stuff.
Yeah, matters that's cool. A lot.
Yep. Oh yeah, here's a 120 foot one.
There you go.
22 to hit. I assume is a hit.
Yep. Yep.
4 plus 4 is 8 fire damage.
Okay. Nice.
And then, 18 plus 6 is 24 to hit.
Big time hit. Big old hit.
Plus, so 1 plus, fuck. 1 plus 1 is 2 fire damage.
Yep.
Then.
Sounds like Scorching Ray.
This thing's getting roasted.
Sure is.
Yeah.
13 plus 6 is 19 to hit.
Another hit. You guys are rolling good. For attacks at least.
5 plus 1 is 6 fire damage.
Nice. Okay. Solid hits. He's looking super rough. He's still standing. And that's Bazel's turn.
Bazel's just run here and cast Vicious Mockery at him.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the insult?
I don't really have a good one. I don't know. I was going to make like a white supremacy joke, but I don't know. I'm not feeling it tonight.
Please do.
Usually I just Mother's go for a whore. I was just going to say white isn't always right, but you know.
It's not okay to be a white.
Yeah.
He crit failed. That got him good. Yeah.
All right. 2d4.
He done got mocked.
Oh, that's a good one. That's also a good one. 8 damage.
He's almost dead. He's like stumbling in this river after hearing. You challenge his ingrained racism. Disadvantage? Okay.
Yeah.
That is the ghost. She's dead. And then Rick.
Rick is going to blast that boy once again. He's got a ways to go, so out of my range. 18 to hit. Yeah. Hits again. Roll in 5 damage.
He had 5 health left. That's enough.
Ah!
Bro, cool. Yeah.
Bedell immediately rushes up to Quill.
Yeah, so what does Quill look like? That's up to Quill, I think.
Bedell is like touching his face, trying to like, if there are wrinkles, she's trying to like smooth them out via like physical like.
Here's some CeraVe.
I would say just probably like a few more wrinkles, maybe some like gray hair coming in, like very lightly.
Does it grow facial hair at all? Because your picture has you without any facial hair.
Yeah, I would say maybe I have like legit mutton chops.
Sweet.
But I would say that I still don't like. It's like peach fuzz, but for the mutton chops that are like pretty significant.
Nice. Okay. What about Rick?
Yeah. So Rick's horns are now much larger and have curled.
Oh wow! Like a ram.
He is. Yeah, like ram's horns. His eyes are more black, like black, and like they smolder now.
Oh,
if you've played Baldur's Gate, which I think we all have, you know what tiefling eyes look like.
Yes.
Because they play a prominent role in the first act.
Yeah.
What percentage of your life did you advance?
So he went from 20, he was in his 20s, to mid-50s now.
But what? And,
so he's not,
that, like...
Tieflings can live to, like, 150. So I wouldn't say he's, like, you know, super wrinkly or anything. There's just a few more, but his horns have really like matured. His tail has grown thicker and longer. Like he's more of like an adult tiefling as opposed to like a youth.
So you advanced like 25% of your lifespan, and Quill did like 50% of his lifespan.
They're about the same, I think. They're both.
Yeah, I think halflings lived, he said, to 150 as well.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Then Bazel would have been appalled for both of you. Vizal's in between both of you, like
just like, oh my god,
like trying to figure out how to fix this glitch.
I basically just look more terrifying, like you might expect.
Vizal's ready to start running back to civilization to try and find a way to reverse the aging right now, like before we loot the bodies. She's ready to go. She goes as far to suggest, hey guys, let's go find you the best healer in the land. This is not cool. Let's get you out of here. Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Fine with me. It's not the... I'm just like looking at myself. I'm like, I kind of... Maybe I'll be taken more seriously. I don't know.
Nice. Yeah, I'll see you guys.
Would we even know what to do or that we can reverse it?
That's a good question. I wonder if I should have. There probably should be a check for that.
So maybe we turn to Theron. Any idea what happened? Do you know?
Theron, I haven't asked you for this before. Now, maybe I should have. Is there a fountain of youth that you've read about?
Well, first of all, what's wrong with aging, guys?
Yeah. This whole time, Theron's just watching you.
Aaron, their ball sacks are going to have extra wrinkles.
Fountain of Youth. Let me think about that.
I mean, I've heard about it. I know it exists. Do you know where it is?
That'd be a history check?
Sure.
Or Arcana.
Let's do, I think you could do Arcana about what this curse is or how it could be fixed. You could do medicine. Somebody could do medicine. History for a fountain of youth is fine.
I could do a medicine.
Yeah.
I have a +5 to that. I got a 15 for medicine.
So certainly, Quill, this is beyond standard, you know, medicinal healing. You know that with a check that good. This will require powerful spell casting.
I defer to you, Theron. It's beyond my knowledge of poultices and the like.
Okay, I will.
I disguise myself as a younger Rick.
Yeah, you can just do that.
Whoa, I got a nat 20 on that one.
Oh.
Whoa.
Three nat 20s today?
Getting like info. Yeah. Just massive info dumps on these. Okay.
Fails or nat 20s. That's how I roll.
Every single thing that Theron's about to say, Bazelle agrees with emphatically, like she knew it.
Not unlike what it would take to cure petrification, which you guys have learned about in the past from a magic, from a spellcasting standpoint. There's a fifth level spell called Greater Restoration that could fix this. But it seems, with a nat 20, Theron, it seems that time is of the essence if you were to try to fix it.
Do we know anyone that can actually cast that? I mean,
I doubt it.
You've only heard of, there's a very skilled healer in the Cougar Rock Enclave, but you've never been there. You don't really have a relationship with them.
I'm fucking going.
I'm going to...
Guys, the Cougar Enclave may have someone who can change this for you. I couldn't live with myself if you had aged.
I'm going to pray for guidance from, I would say, Sylvanas again.
It's kind of an unnatural thing that's happening.
Yeah.
Okay. Just do a flat roll for that. Not a disadvantage, I mean.
Oh my fucking.
Two.
I give up. 2 + 4 = 6.
Yeah, this is just a very dark place that you're in right now. You're not reaching anybody.
This is not the time for seances.
Cougar Rock Enclave is on the whole other side of the Dreadmarsh from where you guys are right now.
Can we even get there in 24 hours?
If it's a 2-day march from the Grungwall to Whitehaven, which is how long it took you guys to get there, it would be like 4 days from the Grungwall to the Enclave.
So within that 20, we know that we can't get there, yeah?
With his nat, with Theron's nat 20,
we don't have enough time.
Yeah, with Theron's nat 20, you know that the only person you've heard about that has this capability to cast a spell is on the other side of the marsh.
Maybe if we find the gold frog.
Or we can see if we can cast sending to Whitehaven, ask for someone to send from Whitehaven to Cougar Rock, have someone from Cougar Rock then respond and go to Whitehaven. We meet them in Whitehaven, and they heal us in Whitehaven at exactly 24 hours.
Can we make it to Whitehaven?
I think we can, right?
I don't think on foot. I think you made it.
2 days, right?
It's a 2-day journey on foot.
All hope is lost.
That's what it sounded like. It's all right. I already look like young Rick again. You can't tell a difference at the moment.
The only thing I can think of would be the Plainsmith's accordion.
What are the rules on that again?
That allows you to cast plane shift, which that actually says no. That wouldn't work. That specifically takes you to a different plane. I was thinking you could just use it to teleport in the plane, but you can't. So never mind.
Yeah, I have a teleportation spell, but it's not far enough. I looked, called Dimension Door, but it's only 500 feet.
You use that on the
How I got out of the.
Yeah, that was sweet.
I think we're just old.
Greater Restoration is a fifth level abjuration.
I don't think I only know third level spells. Do I even know fourth level? I don't think so.
I have some fourth level.
Oh, I do have a fourth level. Yeah. We just don't have fifth.
What level do we need to be when I get fifth level spells?
It's probably coming up. I mean, maybe it's a level 10.
It might be next level. 9 or 10.
9 or 10, yeah.
Mayhaps.
I bet.
We need diamond dust for it.
At 9th level, I get 5th level spells. Can a bard take?
It is a bard spell. Yeah, it's not only a bard. Really? Bards, clerics, and druids can get it.
Let's go kill the gold frog and level up.
So we gotta kill as much shit as we can, guys, in the next, like, 24 hours. It's gotta go on a fucking XP rampage.
For youth! Yeah.
Let's fucking light this shit. We don't have any time to waste. Let's fucking get some fights going.
Let's light this candle.
Back to the hex map. Are you guys going to loot or are you heading out?
Is it going to reduce our 24 hours of...
I mean, technically, yeah, I guess so.
Perhaps negligibly.
Yeah.
Some quick looting. Bazell's fucking rifling through some shit.
who are you looting? And what do you want? I guess is the question.
I want a fifth level spell.
I'm just looking to see. So the comment was made that it's similar to the stone to flesh.
Well, it's
and there,
it's not
similar level of complexity.
Yeah.
Right. But what I'm saying is that we could make a potion. So there's a chance we could make a potion that would accomplish this goal as well. But I can't remember how we uncovered the...
You uncovered that the recipe for that by Theron getting a nat 20.
I was going to say right. Serendipitously, right. If I remember
yep.
correctly.
Yep. I didn't plan for that at all. You just rolled really well. So it was conjured into existence.
Okay. All right. Well, that rules out that.
I mean, you could check.
No,
check to see if anybody knows of a
masters.
Alchemical solution here.
I'm going to take some... I'm going to loot this ghost.
What are you looking for?
For some ooze.
Okay. Sure. Give me, D20.
17.
Yeah, she's full of ooze, dude. She's super oozy. She's got a problem, man. Got an ooze problem. That's 4 units of ooze.
Give me some ooze.
There it is.
Baby.
Okay, she's been looted.
I'm going to take the ooze and I'm going to, like, string it out to inspect it.
Okay, for smell what?
For jewelcraft.
Okay, that is the other component for the jumping attribute. Like boots of striding and jumping or something, I think is what they're called.
Sweet.
Yes, you haven't found the other part of that, so that's the first part of that.
Okay. All right, I'm ready to follow the crew to where we need to go.
Bring us back to the hex map here. Where are you going next? You are currently at D8.
Bazell no longer cares.
She's too old to care.
What does it matter?
We're old.
A fate worse than death.
Yeah.
Let's go, what is this, C7?
Why, Rick, why?
To kill shit. To find your hoard.
I don't even care about a hoard anymore.
God. She's manic. She's all over the place.
Yeah. I was going to say depressed, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry.
She just watched her, like, worst nightmare occur on, like, the people closest to her. She shut her eyes, and she's powerless to do anything about it. Like, yeah, she's not in a great place right now. What do you want me to tell you?
Your idea, I hadn't thought about your idea. That could work. If you just start grinding out some EXP.
I mean... I suppose if, like, there's still the possibility that we get, like, the XP to get there, she's in for it, but, like...
She feels like she almost knows the spell.
Right there.
Just have
right
to kill
there.
Some shit.
Yep.
The problem, the real issue is she only gets one fifth level spell slot. That's the real issue.
Yep.
You can change those out, though.
Weird fucking Sophie's Choice shit. What's that?
A bard can reload their choice every morning, right? You can change the spell that you have prepared.
Yeah, but I only have one
slot.
Level slot.
Yeah.
And if it's a 24-hour time period, only one of the two of them can get restored back. So it's a weird fucking Sophie's Choice scenario anyway. Like,
you're right.
Part of Bazell doesn't want to fucking get
have
the
to choose anyways.
Have to pick the fucking person.
Well,
she's
but
I mean,
you
Rick's
can
okay
take
with
eight-hour.
To be honest,
if we do it quickly enough,
then there's an eight-hour rest.
Yeah,
and so it's only could. 6 for me, I think. But still, we gotta get on our horse if we're gonna
Prancing.
Make it.
Yeah. All right, you've entered a new hex. You're now in C7. You encounter an area so you're still kind of in the central ruins here, and there's a gate barring exit. If you were to want to head north. And there is a skeletal sphinx perched on top or on the walls next to the gate, and it just kind of eyes you lazily. And you hear it say,
"Is this riddle worth XP or no?"
You just leave.
No, seriously, is the riddle worth XP?
The way I've been doing it is every social encounter that's a success, every solves puzzle, every one battle is XP. Yeah.
All right, perfect.
Yep.
Vizel's willing to listen to this Sphinx riddle.
hang on. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up for a second, Sphinx. You hear, you see three locks on the gate in front of you, and he says to you,
"My skin has been stretched, my body beaten, time and time again, to keep the time."
Grandfather clock?
The Sphinx kind of just lays down.
Nothing happens.
A drum.
A drum.
Nice.
The lock, one of the locks shatters. The two still remain. He looks at Quill and says,
"Many keys I do possess, but can't open a lock. Your feet will move in time as all your fingers take a walk."
Piano. Keyboard. Second.
Piano. The second lock shatters. The Sphinx looks impressed at Vizel and delivers the final riddle.
Four friends tightly over the bridge they cling. They do not scream, but when their fifth friend joins, they sing.
Say that again.
Yep. Four friends tightly over the bridge they cling. They do not scream, but when their fifth friend joins, they sing.
Like a banjo or a mandolin. Is that one with the offset?
Very close.
Yeah, there's one stringed guitar-like instrument with the fifth string that's down below the head on the neck over the bridge.
The lock shakes a little bit, but doesn't break.
Yeah.
I like, picture the fucking instrument.
Not a ukulele.
You're in the right neighborhood. For big time.
The lute? Is that the type of... Does that have five strings like that?
How do you play a lute? Do you finger pick it?
Isn't it kind of like a harp?
A lute is like a guitar-looking thing, but it's got...
Yeah.
It looks like it's got six strings, and you pick it.
I suppose I shouldn't use the...
I was thinking like a cello.
I will accept cello. The fifth friend is the bow.
Okay.
Violin was the other
violin
answer. Yep. All right, yeah. The third block shatters, and the gate swings open, and the Sphinx yawns and looks bored and lays back down and lets you guys pass.
Fuck you, Sphinx. And we
is that us? Right.
roll in the ship. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Where are you going? Back.
Well, the door let us go north, right?
Yep. It looks like there's a hex northwest and a hex northeast.
I'll go northwest, then northeast.
Okay. This is a remarkable part of the cleared desert swamp beyond the wall. It's remarkable just for a massive dead tree. Like, I'm thinking like redwood sized at the base. And you don't see much else around it except I'll leave it at that for the tree. It's a huge tree. And then there is a brazier kind of at the near the base of the tree, if you were to approach it, that's not lit.
Bazel prestidigitates lighting it.
So is that real fire or what is?
I think I can light a candle with prestidigitation, so I think it's real fire.
Yeah, I'm picturing a big, like a huge, like 5 foot wide bowl.
Says like you can shower. Do a torch or a small campfire.
This is probably bigger, but as you get closer to the brazier, you see there is a charred corpse of a cat laying in the unlit brazier.
Let's light the cat.
And as you get nearer to the cat, you see under one of its paws is a small package about the size of your hand that's wrapped in leather and knotted with twine.
Rick grabs it and opens the package.
The package.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you pry it loose from the cat, which is like in rigor mortis, like super frozen cold. And if you open the package, you find a deck of playing cards. And
I pull one.
Okay. It's the five of spades.
No, it's not a deck of many. All right.
Nope. yep. Yeah, if you examine the deck, it seems like a standard playing card deck. There is you know, there's the four suits. There's 13 of each of the cards. If you were to, you know, sort them out, they're not in any certain order. They're random, shuffled. There are two jokers, which are dogs. And then all of the face cards are like royal cats, like royal felines. Inside, on that inside of that leather that you opened up, there's a poem that says, "Our small feline friends, their wit most distinguished, pushed to great ends, their chances extinguished." Oh, I should say chances. Chances extinguished.
You said the cards are right now in a random order?
They're shuffled, yep.
I mean, nine lives. Look for the nines.
Okay, I pull out... go through the cards and pull out the nines.
And do what? Around.
Put them together?
Okay. Nothing happens.
Give them back to the cat. See if he comes back alive.
Okay. What about putting it in the fire? Their chances is extinguished. I mean, I don't know. This is a normal deck of cards, right? Like ace through king. Like
it. Yep, yep.
Okay.
Yep, ace or king of each suit.
Are there any cats on the cards?
The jack, queen, and king.
Face cards.
All the face cards are like cat people.
They all look like cats.
Yep.
Aren't there like suicide kings? Are there suicide jacks?
They're suicide kings.
But not suicide jacks, right?
I don't think so.
There's the one-eyed jacks.
Yeah.
Because the feline friends would be the actual cat cards, and the smallest of those would be the jacks of the cat feline, right?
Yeah.
And then push to great ends or chances extinguish. I don't understand.
Well, wit, are jacks the smartest?
Question.
Jack of all trades? Are there jokers?
There's two jokers. They looked like dogs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. This deck was made by a cat lover, obviously.
I mean, the chance is extinguished seems to me is the nine lives, but but I don't know. I don't know.
What if we put it into a new deck order? Or we... chance is extinguished. To me, that means that, I don't know, I'm thinking out loud, we remove chances. Like, a deck of cards is all chance, right? So if you remove either the randomness of the cards, or you just only have the face cards, so there's like no chance, you've only got good cards. I don't know.
Along that lines, if you put all the small feline friends to the end of the deck, then the chance that they wouldn't get dealt would be zero.
Yeah. You're stacking the deck.
Yeah. So you push all the small feline friends to the top or the bottom, then it took away the chance. But I don't think that's the right thing, but it could be, I guess. I guess I take all the nines to the top of the deck and deal them out one to each person, and then I take all the jacks and put it at the top of the deck and deal those all out to one to each person. See if anything happens.
Okay.
Or you put them all in the bottom of the bottom of the deck so they don't get dealt.
I try that next.
Okay. Yeah, nothing seems to happen when you're just like manipulating the cards in your hands.
Yeah, is there anything else around us aside from the dead cat, the large bonfire-esque thing?
Yeah, the big shallow bowl brazier, which is currently not lit. It has fuel in it. You know, some twigs and stuff, and the cat is resting on top of those. And the corpse, the dead cat. And then the only thing around you remarkable is this massive tree, which is a little bit in the distance behind the brazier.
Let's investigate the tree. What does the tree have to say?
Give me an investigation check.
Six.
It's just a huge, tree.
Just a tree. And the cat is like a regular house cat. Just like,
yeah,
cat.
Yep. Just burnt.
Charred. Wait, already burnt?
Yeah, it's a charred corpse.
But the card survived?
Oh, and the card survived and there's fuel still in the brazier. So it was burnt and then put into the brazier.
I think we're supposed to burn some cards.
Some cards. Get that too. Their chance is extinguished. Yeah, burning cards. I think that's the move.
They probably aren't going to actually burn.
Right.
You guys are on the right track.
So no matter how we manipulate the cards, nothing seems to happen.
If you're just like shuffling them or dealing them out between amongst yourselves, yeah, nothing happens.
Can we just like take out the face cards from the deck?
Okay, and do what with them? Theron, give me an insight check on that.
Insight would be
if you take out all the face cards and examine the deck.
Six.
Okay.
We're rolling rocks tonight.
You had some really good rolls. All right. You, nothing seems to happen. Nothing occurs to you as you're holding the deck.
As I'm holding the deck. Okay.
Yeah. You separate the face cards from the number of cards and aces. And it's, yeah.
I'm going to start the brazier.
Okay. You light the brazier?
It's here.
Yeah. It lights pretty easily. It's pretty dry out here, so.
So that's how you pronounce that word.
Yeah, I've said brazier accidentally a few times.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
I just read it and I'm like, huh, okay. That means fire.
Yeah. Yep, it lights. Nothing happens with the cat.
Like subtle?
Subtle.
I don't understand push to great ends. Like, why would that mean put the cards in the fire?
Somebody has made a reference that was correct. That
referred. I said that it's their nine lives.
And I said push the cards to the top or the bottom of the deck, to like the end of the deck. But
right.
I mean, I don't fucking know.
Maybe throw the nines in the fire, see what happens. Are we willing to do that?
I don't care. I'm at a loss. I feel like it could be.
Which nine do you throw in first?
Clubs. It's the smallest suit.
Bizzell throws in are you throwing it in?
Sure.
Okay. It starts to burn, and you feel a searing flame in, like, inside your skull. You take 2 points of psychic damage, Bizzell, and that nine of clubs reappears back in the deck.
All right, I'll throw a nine of spades.
Okay. You feel the same searing pain.
Damn it.
three psychic damage, and the nine of spades reappears in the deck.
I'm going to throw a jack of diamonds in there.
2 points of psychic damage. Reappears in the deck.
I put the jack of clubs in.
Okay. That's going to be 3 points of psychic damage, Bizzell. The session's going to end with the whole party dead around a dead cat. You probably could brute force it. I mean,
he throw a joker in.
The joker burns.
I throw the other joker in.
It also burns. And then they both reappear in the deck. And you take.
Damn it! I was like, wait, what?
3 points.
I was about to keep throwing shit in. I was like, wait, I'm on to something, guys.
Yeah, I was like, that's the least feline of all the cards. It has a fucking dog on it.
Yeah, but maybe you want to burn that.
I don't know. I mean,
Sorry, how much was the total damage? I did not write that. I did not catch that.
That was three. That was two and one.
Okay.
One, yeah, two for one card, one for the other.
The Ace of Spades! Just throw.
Push to great ends, their chances extinguished.
I don't get the riddle.
So what if we put all of the face cards in order?
Yeah, and if there's a check you guys can think of, this riddle is kind of a stretch. So,
like, what if we went like king, queen, jack, spades, king, queen, jack. This might kill me if I throw them all at once. But then you go clubs. And then I can't remember if it goes diamonds and hearts or hearts and diamonds. But we put it into like, clubs, you know, how a brand new, like how they come in a pack.
Clubs, diamonds, hearts, spades. At least in bridge, that's the order of the value of the suits from low to high.
I think in. From low to high? Okay, yeah. I think that's correct. Because I know, like, if you had a straight flush in poker and you had the spades, though, it's better.
Since Quill at one point said, cats have nine lives, give me an insight check, Quill.
20. Dirty.
Dirty 20. It occurs to you that life and heart kind of go together.
Ah. Life and heart goes together. What about I throw the
nine of hearts?
Nine of hearts.
The nine of hearts burns, and the cat twitches for a moment, and you take no damage, and the card does not return to the deck.
Okay.
What about a ten of hearts? I throw that in.
Hang on.
Let me give you some damage here.
You're going to take some damage. Ten of hearts causes you to feel searing pain, a headache, for 3 points of psychic damage. And it reappears in the deck.
Rick's done throwing cards in the fire. He's going to die soon.
I'm going to throw the jack of hearts in.
It's going to be 1 point. 1 point of psychic damage. Well, the jack reappears in the deck.
I throw the nine of diamonds in.
I'm fucking wrong.
3 points of psychic damage. This is a shit tier riddle.
Nine of clubs.
That's occurring to me now. Okay, that's going to hurt.
Feline.
I think you write down nine of clubs. That's 2 points.
Okay. Nine of spades. We're just going to keep going.
I'm pretty sure you already did a nine of spades. Yeah. You've tried all the nines now. Only the nine of hearts.
Oh. Since the
eight of hearts,
you throw the eight of hearts in the fire, it burns to completion, and the cat twitches.
Seven of hearts,
seven works as well.
Six of hearts,
six, yep.
Five, four, three, two,
and
ace,
and ace of hearts for the one.
Those are nine hearts. That's what the riddle was going for nine lives of a cat. The cat has been twitching this whole time that you're throwing the hearts in there, and it regenerates. It returns to life, and it walks over to Bazelle and starts retching right at Bazelle's feet, and pukes up the other half of that key. And then it bursts into flames and turns to ash.
Can anybody do a cat throwing up impression? It's like,
that's what dogs do too. It's like universal. All right. And yes, so now you have a complete key for something.
I immediately throw it in the fire.
It just gets hot.
Oh, okay.
It's a stone key. Everybody give me perception checks.
15.
Damn it. Five. For Rick.
16.
I'm oblivious. It's that's attracts.
I think the highest so far was a 16.
I got a 21.
Oh, wow. So, Bazelas, you, because I believe you had the other half of the key. So you pick up this second half, and you see that they kind of, there's a recess in one of them. So they kind of, they interlock and they form like a cross shape. You see a recess at the base of the giant tree that is cross shaped.
Shit.
Well, I fucking put that bitch in there.
You get close to it. It's like the key wants to get pulled into that lock, and you start to kind of feel it hum a little bit, and it sockets in very satisfyingly. It rotates and clicks, and beneath you, you feel a set of stairs begin to open that descend into the base of the tree and the roots below, and you make out kind of a faint bluish light, like an eerie blue flame that's coming from beneath the tree, and you start to hear some chanting and the occasional croak.
Oh gosh.
And that's where we will leave off next time.
Nice.
Was I the key master for a moment?
Yeah. You were the key master, yes.
Excellent.